Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'm going to be briefly reacting to the latest secession rumblings coming out of Canada, as well as the making the case, probably reiterating at least part of the case, why we should not make Canada the 51st state. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So, the first reason why we should not make Canada the 51st state is, as I've said, I'm a big supporter of secession. I believe that if an area is part of a nation, I've mainly said this when it comes to the U.S., but I also believe this when it comes to, you know, basically any area that's a part of any country. You know, if part of Uzbekistan wanted to break off, if part of North Korea wanted to break off, if part of Mexico wanted to break off, I would generally support it for pretty much any reason. I mean, if the area breaks off so that it can persecute Christians, we'd have a problem. But even then, what I would propose should be done about it, I'm not sure. Generally, for the most part, though, when areas wish to break off from their parent country, it's because they feel they have a cultural difference. When it comes to the dominant culture of their country versus the culture of that area, it can also have to do with economic interests. If that area happens to have an abundance of a natural resource that is considered valuable around the world, and that area feels it's being taken advantage of by the dominant country, could be that, you know, the area is tired of bankrolling the other part of the dominant parent country. You know, there can be many reasons. And so, generally, I am in favor of an area breaking off from its parent country at any time for pretty much any reason. As I said, what we'd do if the area's reason for breaking off was to persecute Christians, I'm not sure. I would not be 100% on board with that, but so far I have not yet heard that there was a case of that sort. However, my fear is, and this fear is based on historical precedent, that if the U.S. annexed Canada, or Greenland for that matter, that the U.S. would not then let them leave in the future, if the area decided to forge its own destiny and no longer wish to be a part of the U.S. The reason I say this is based on historical precedent is, well, for one, the South tried to secede, and that's how we ended up with the war between the states, where the South was conquered, and thousands of people died on both sides, hundreds of thousands. You know, you also have Hawaii, which was an independent kingdom until the U.S. overthrew the Queen and made Hawaii a territory, which then obviously later became a state. You then have places like Puerto Rico and Guam, which are territories. As far as I know, I don't think they've ever been offered statehood, and as far as I know, I don't think they've ever been asked if they wish to remain in the U.S. I think it's just their desire to remain has been assumed without consulting them. I could be wrong on that, but as far as I know, that appears to be the case. You could argue that Korea and Philippines are counterexamples because the U.S. and Soviet Union split control of the Korean Peninsula after World War II, with the Soviet Union controlling the northern half and the U.S. Controlling the southern half after Korea was taken from Japan, after Japan occupied it during the war and the preceding three decades. North Korea, as we know, is a cult ruled over by an absolute dictating family that demands their people worship them as gods. South Korea, as we know, the U.S. still has a military presence there, as far as I'm aware, but South Korea is a sovereign nation. So I guess you could technically argue in that case that the U.S. let South Korea leave, but the U.S. never assumed that, as far as I know, the U.S. didn't assume that South Korea was a territory per se. The U.S. had a military presence there that was more robust than it is now. And the occupation was temporary after the end of a giant bloody war. So you could say that was a bit different. The U.S. also had a partial stake in West Germany. West Germany was controlled by the Allies, except for the Soviet Union controlling East Germany. So I guess those are kind of counterexamples, but I wouldn't quite say that it's the same level because, again, as far as I'm aware, the U.S. did not call South Korea a territory or West Germany a territory, and definitely did not try to make them be states of the U.S. The Philippines, I guess you could argue, was a better counterexample, but even then, the examples of areas that the U.S. has held on to and not let leave outnumber the examples in the other direction. So my concern then would be, again, that if Canada or Greenland decided to join the U.S. As other states, as additional states, my concern would be that if 20, 50, 100 years down the road, those areas decided, no, we don't want to be states anymore, that the U.S. wouldn't accept it and might even declare war over it. Like, and you would have a second war between the states, this time against the Canadians or the Greenlandians? Greenlanders? I don't know what you call people from Greenland. Although, then again, there are only, like, 12 people in Greenland, so that might not be as big of a thing. But either way, it's about the moral principle, not the raw numbers. Well, the next case I will make is relating to raw numbers. So the other problem you have is when you study empires throughout history, one of the biggest things that causes problems in a big empire is just that. It becomes too big. It becomes too big to govern. I addressed this episode in my Ukraine episode, or I addressed this idea in my Ukraine episode, the idea that if an empire becomes too big to govern, it never bodes well for the empire, because generally then couple hundred years later, maybe, is when things really start to fall apart, because you can only overextend yourself for so long before you just fall apart. This happens to a lot of people. There are people who will get rich, or just will have a constant stream of money, and will pledge themselves to donate to a whole heck of a lot of different charities, and they'll have all these subscriptions, and so every month, money's being drawn out and sent to all these places. Well, if the person loses their job or, loses their income stream, or if, somebody steals a bunch of their money, or if the person dies and there are complications with, dividing the assets and stuff. In short, if something happens that means that all of these charities and all of these services that were receiving the money can no longer receive said money, the person could end up in a bunch of debt because of pledges and subscriptions they can no longer fulfill. And then untangling all of that just causes more problems down the road. It's not a perfect analogy, but that is kind of like what happens to empires when they become too big. They overextend themselves because they have to protect a large area from invasion, and otherwise distribute resources across impossibly large areas that are unsustainable in the long term. And while technology makes doing some of that easier than it would have been in, say, Roman times, it's still a concern to keep in mind. And Canada is larger than the U.S. Not only is it larger, but also the vast majority of Canadians live in the southern part of the country. Because, you know, when you get further north, a lot of it's up in the Arctic. And living in the Arctic is not fun. So a lot of people don't live there. So there are large stretches of Canada that are uninhabited or sparsely populated. I mean, if you thought North Dakota was 12 people and a cow, just wait till you get up to, like, Canada's northern territories. It's probably, like, 2 people and a cow. And the cow's half frozen. I don't know that for sure, but that's what it's probably like when you go up to the Arctic, because not a lot of people want to live up there. And not only do a lot of people just not want to live there, but also a lot of people can't even get there, because a lot of areas up in the Arctic are super remote and not very accessible. I mentioned before, and Alaska is not part of Canada, but I mentioned before that there are parts of Alaska that are so remote, you have to take a plane to get there. And churches have given money to support missionaries so that they can buy small planes to travel into these remote areas, because they just otherwise can't get around in there. So if Canada became the 51st state, well, then you would have a ginormous state that's bigger than the entire country, and you would, large portions of that state would be not very accessible, probably wouldn't contain a ton of natural resources. I mean, I know Canada itself provides, like, oil and stuff, but I don't know exactly what regions of Canada, provide that. But I would imagine once you get up into, like, the northern parts of it, like up into the Arctic, there's probably not much there to begin with, and the effort it would take you to get up there, it just probably wouldn't be worth it. So you would have America, which is already in a debt spiral in of itself, annexing an area bigger than the original country's landmass. Especially if you're looking at the continental U.S., you would have, large stretches of that area that would have very little to nothing really to offer, or if it can offer resources, the resources are so hard to get that it makes it, not cost effective to get them. You wouldn't be gaining a ton of population, because Canada's population is less than 40 million and the US's population is 330 something million last I looked. So just by sheer numbers, it would not be worth it. I think the U.S. already overextends itself when it comes to foreign bases and stuff. Last thing we need is to add a big honkin' 51st state that's larger than the entire lower 48 states. Probably even larger than the U.S.'s landmass, including Alaska. Especially when large stretches of that state don't have much to offer. Then, not only that, but the U.S. probably, if the U.S. did annex Canada, they probably would not be greeted as liberators. We probably would not be greeted as liberators by the entire population of Canada. Chances are that a large section of Canada's population, if not most of them, would not be over the moon to become a 51st state of the U.S. They probably would not enjoy that. And it might even lead to more serious conflict. And the last thing we want is another war between the states, this time against Canada, or for that matter, against the 12 people that live in Greenland. And Greenland, it's not even like you can just walk there. You know, you have it's in separated from us by ocean. And it's also covered by a huge ice sheet. So I don't see what the U.S. would gain by adding these areas as states, because the natural resources these areas offer are limited, and the cost of obtaining them probably does not make it all that worth it. I mean, those are just my thoughts. Now I want to address the specific latest developments coming out of Canada. So from what I've heard, Alberta wants to leave Canada. Alberta is more conservative than Canada at large. And Canada, you know, just voted to elect another Liberal Party prime minister by the name of Mark Carney, who basically supports the same policies as Justin Trudeau. And especially after the latest tariffs were levied against Canada, which, you know, my thoughts on tariffs, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole again, because I already did that. But basically, after the latest tariffs, Alberta has said they want to leave Canada. Quebec has, in the past, also voted in referenda when it came to independence from Canada, and has voted to stay each time, but the question remains whether that will always be the case, because after all, Quebec has a different culture than the rest of Canada. Quebec is the main French-speaking area of Canada, and they have, you know, they have their own culture. It's not entirely dissimilar from the rest of Canada, but it has its own unique quirks. And also, there could be economic interests at play from what I looked at. So the possibility of Quebec wishing to secede is also not too small to consider. I would also like to say that, you know, I have said before that I think that any part of the U.S. that wished to form its own nation should be able to do so, or any area of a state, or any area of a state that wished to join another state or become its own state while staying in the Union should also be able to do so. I tend to think the same about other countries, because usually there are reasons why that area wishes to secede. It's usually because there's a different economic interest, there's a different culture, combination of the two. The area feels it's not represented by the dominant country's government. And you know, if you look at the Bible, God clearly wants self-determination for different peoples. That's why he didn't just make Israel continue to be a part of Egypt for all of eternity. He gave them land to live on, and you know, he even said, I believe it's somewhere in Deuteronomy, that nations should have their borders. I don't know if it says those exact words. I'd have to look at it again. It's been a while. But, you know, he does support the right of peoples to have their own independent nations. Now, if, hypothetically speaking, there was an area that wished to secede from its parent country, and the reason it wished to do so was because it didn't like Christianity, the only truth, that might, you know, I'm not sure what I would suggest in that situation. That seems like a tough situation to consider. However, comma, I've not heard of any area, at least as of right now, for which this is the case, especially not in Canada. And so that brings me to another factor to consider here when it comes specifically to the case of provinces wishing to leave Canada. Apparently in the Canadian Constitution, it specifically says that provinces can't leave Canada. So if a province wanted to secede, there would have to be a constitutional amendment. I'm not sure how that would work, but again, I support it. I think it's good. If an area wishes to leave Canada, I think it should be able to do so. If it chose to join the U.S., my word of caution again would be consider the fact that historically the U.S. has not let places leave. It has essentially entrapped places, made them stay, even if they wish to leave or didn't wish to join in the first place. So that would be my one kind of word of caution there. But if an area wished to leave Canada to become its own country, or if it did, you know, take that risk in mind, keep that risk in mind, but decide to join the U.S. anyway, well, ultimately that's its own decision. So that's their prerogative. And so those are basically my thoughts. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed this podcast or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, Audible, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page, Jesse's Fireside Chats, and on X, JFSCPod. You can also send us an email if you'd like, at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS, firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next time and pass this along to all your friends. Thank you and have a blessed day.